Well, a new shellfish hatchery and nursery on Tasmania's east coast is safeguarding oyster production against the Pacific Oyster Mortality Syndrome, or POMS. A business innovation grant will enable Sea Perfect to expand the land-based nursery, growing flat oysters, mussels, clams and POMS-resistant Pacific oysters. Reporter Hilary Burden met with the company's managing director, Ian Duthie, at the hatchery in Little Swanport.
So in this room, this is sort of our control centre. So this is where we grow the algae that we've got from CSIRO. They maintain strains that are free of bacteria. So we grow them up into, we scale them up from a small flask up to bigger flasks. And that's the bubbles you can hear or the air you can hear. Yeah. So that's growing up to 5 litres of flasks. And then we transfer that as it grows. Algae cell basically grows exponentially. So we start with one, it becomes two, two becomes four. And behind us, they're running at about 30 million cells per mil. And then we transfer that across to our carboys and then do the same thing again. And then we scale that up to bags and tubs and feed that to our baby shellfish.
Now give us a context of how you started a couple of years ago, of course, when Pacific Oyster Mortality Syndrome, POMS, hit. The timing wasn't great. So give us a bit of a brief rundown of where you've come from there to here.
We knew that POMS was out there in France and it hit New Zealand and then it had hit New South Wales. And so the idea here was that we'd have a multi-species hatchery that would be running a land-based nursery and that we'd build our pilot hatchery, which is what we have now, and then a bigger hatchery that we'd grow some oysters domestically and some clams and other things onshore and keep them free of disease. And then we'd sell little ones overseas, being that we had a fantastic biosecurity regime and we'd had 20 plus years of disease-free status, we thought this is a perfect place. So just as we'd finished building the place and we're about to turn the water on, this POMS virus turned up at Lower Pittwater on a friend's farm, and that changed everything. Then very soon after, we discovered it was also here at Little Swanport.
What was your strategy from there to protect your business?
The way we were financing was through arrangements with growers, so we're pre-financing. So basically it was just keep working. We already had systems in place. We knew our systems that we'd already planned for were going to protect our operations. And so from day go, we haven't had any sign of the virus. We've maintained biosecurity, and our oysters inside have grown really well.
You've been assisted by an innovations grant, and what's it enabled you to do?
Okay, so the innovation grant basically, because we'd been hit with POMS, it let us sort of take the plan that we had prior to POMS forward, which is even more important now that growers were short of seed. They needed secure supply of seed that hadn't been impacted by disease and was selectively resistant to the disease. And so the innovation grant basically means that the plan we had to do that land-based nursery where we grow the algae onshore and we keep the oysters and shellfish on shore away from the disease, that's going to allow us to do that. Without the grant, we'd be, it sort of takes, that's a silver lining for us really, in that even with the grant, it's a two plus year sort of project to get to a point where we'd like to be. Without it, we're probably looking at 4, 5, 6 years. It's just that acceleration opportunity is so important for us.
And what stage do the oysters go back into the water?
It's sort of seasonal with the time. At the moment, we're sending oysters out at 2 millimetre, and the idea is that they go out, they face the disease, and a whole lot of them die, but they die while they're relatively cheap, and then the growers grow them through, and the ones that survive, they continue to survive all the way through until market. And so from 2 millimetre through to market, you're looking at about 2 years. The plan, once we have the land-based nursery, is the growers don't like using these 2 millimetre oysters. They're really fiddly and hard to play with. The plan is to have a land-based nursery and supply them a much bigger oyster, a 6 and 8 millimetre screen, which is about the size of your thumbnail. And then they can actually put them outside of the disease window. So if they put them in late March, they can be quite a big oyster before the disease hits again in December, at which point they lose maybe 10% of the oysters rather than a really big number of the little oysters.
And Ian Duthie, you've been involved in the industry in Spring Bay and Tribunna and also in the northwest in Smithton. What learnings, what can you say about where we're at now, having gone through this hurdle of POMS, in terms of Tasmanian hatcheries?
Tasmanian hatcheries have been impacted pretty largely because the market used to be all of Australia and then potentially globally. Now, with the disease being found here in Tasmania, it's basically a Tasmanian market. So the existing hatcheries, Cameron's of Tasmania and Shellfish Culture, they've gone and set up farms and hatcheries in South Australia to service that market. The industry as a whole, though, has it was very forward-thinking. It already had a selective breeding program in place and had that for a number of years. It started as a university project through collaboration with industry and continues to today. It's so we're up to about 15, 16 generations of selective breeding. And then when the disease arrived in New South Wales, the people there took the oysters up and actually exposed them to the disease and gave us an idea that there is a resistance available, and the families that we've been growing have a resistance. And so at the moment, oysters that are a year old, and we used to be able to send them up there at a year old and then test them, they have a survival rate or estimated breeding value of 94%. Now that we're exposing them at a smaller size, that breeding value comes back, and it's probably around about 50%. But without the industry being forward-thinking and planning for this sort of thing, we wouldn't have had a breeding program. We wouldn't have had that collaboration. And that's a collaboration nationally. That's with Tasmania and South Australia. So we thought together, on our own, we couldn't really afford to do this. But working with the other states, South Australia and a little bit in New South Wales, we're able to work together and actually bring together something much more than what we could on our own. So I'd say the industry's been forward-thinking in a lot of ways. Yeah.
Tell me about the oysters that you grow here at Little Swanpool. What's the nature of them?
The oysters here it's one of the best places you can get oysters anywhere in the state, and I'd say rival anywhere in the country, really. At the mouth of the river, which is sort of where we are, the taste is this fresh, briny, salty, sort of very refreshing taste of the sea. You go up the river a couple of kilometres, you get a very different taste. It's more of an earthy taste. People talk about the terroir of wines. This is a terroir of oysters. You get this taste that reflects the environment it's grown in.
What was that word? Merroir.
Merroir,
as in marine.
Yes.
Wah.
Wah. Yes, that's right.
I guess the Aboriginal people had their native oysters here, didn't they? It was a real centre for that.
Well, we're about 100 metres away from a lime kiln that used to dig up, unfortunately, the middens that were here. And also there was a lot of flat oysters or native oysters outside. So it has a rich history. Just walking in, you can see the shells on the ground still.
So it's an interesting story. So the oysters come back to this area where people survived for thousands and thousands of generations.
Yeah, it was just a rich ground. I mean, there's when you go out on the bay, it's a very rich bay. Lots of seagrass, lots of bream and other fish. But the bottom's basically just covered with old flat oyster shells. The problem for the flat oysters, though, was that although flat oysters were fished in a food for the native people for many, many years, they got fished very heavily when white settlement first came, because they were eating the meat, and then they were burning the shell to produce lime, and they just got fished to a point where a disease was also introduced, a disease called bonamia, and that's basically kept the numbers quite low. But as with Pacific oysters and this POMS, there's evidence that you can actually breed resistant flat oysters to this disease, and so there's opportunity to basically restore the native populations through reef restoration, mm-hmm. which is where hatcheries would come in. So we'd be involved in providing the baby oysters for those reef restoration, but also for the aquaculture of the oysters as well.
Ian Duffy, in terms of sustainability for your business, for Sea Perfect, which is a family business?
It's a family business, so it's a husband and wife team. We've got our first employee on. Our kids come and work on weekends.
What are your aspirations ultimately?
Ultimately, we'd like to offer more species to the industry. At the moment, a Pacific oyster grower is a Pacific oyster grower, and that's pretty much all they do. So we'd like to be able to provide other species to them, be it flat oysters. I've always had a lot of interest, like we have a lot of clams or a Catalysia species, very small pippy, around the coast of Australia, and Tassie's very rich in them. Internationally, they've been growing, they're the fastest growing aquaculture non-fed species in the world, and yet we don't do any aquaculture of them at all. We can do them in the hatchery and we can grow them on farms, and we've visited North America and Europe and seen how they've done it, and it's just a matter of, you know, getting our roots set so we can actually get around to actually producing some of these and see if we can develop a clam industry over time. So that would be where we'd like to be in 5-10 years, is to see the shellfish growers in Tasmania and Australia have not just Pacific oysters but flat oysters, clams, a variety of species available to them.
Just finally, the future in terms of POMS, in terms of being on top of the disease, what is your confidence that it's not going to come back?
Oh, POMS is going to be back every year from now, forever. So it'll always be there. Where our confidence in the industry is that this breeding program by Australian Seafood Industries, collaboration with CSIRO and FRDC supporting it and industry supporting it, we've got to a point now where we've got enough resistance in the lines being produced that farming of oysters is going to be viable into the future, and we'll have continued gain. So we've got a bright future there.
As long as they stay resistant.
Yes, that's right. And that's why we need to maintain a breeding program. I mean, since the industry had started, we'd had no disease of significance, nothing at all. Then we got this disease, which is pretty awful. It kills 80-90% of your oysters from the get-go if they're not resistant. So we need a breeding program into the future in case we have something else coming. You know, give us a surprise.
Ian Duthie, Managing Director of Sea Perfect, a new shellfish hatchery and nursery, Little Swanport on Tasmania's east coast, talking there to Hilary Burden.